quote many of us are familiar with is in Hebrews chapter 2 in regard to the verses that the admonition that was before us. And I think it's the word, as Peter tells us, to put you always in remembrance. And surely we can recognize that this is what we constantly need, to be put in remembrance and remembrance and remembrance constantly, to have these things before us. And so this verse in Hebrews 2 and verse 1 tells us, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. One I've been visiting with some of the dear brothers here, and there is a very strong tendency, it seems, to mingle or to allow us to be envious of what is going on in the camp. I remember years ago when I first started going to the meetings with my dear wife. We were going to Des Moines, and by some way the Lord had seen fit to allow me to be there. And after being at the meetings different times, I said to my wife, I says, I can't believe that anyone would leave a place like this. I can't believe that anyone would leave. And I didn't know that they were leaving and they were coming. And now I see it happening. I've seen it happen. And we do leave. And only by the grace of God will I be kept. Asa went on for many years. At the end of his days, he left the path. Dear young people, be sure that your roots are grounded in the truth and steadfast in the truth. What I really had on my heart was a verse that was read this morning in Isaiah, and one has been enjoying it, and I just want to make a very brief comment. I have no ability. There are many brothers here much more suited. But sometimes in a meeting we have verses, breaking of bread, verses that are read quite frequently. And sometimes one thinks that if there's some little thought that can be connected with this verse, it will accentuate the meaning and the blessedness of that verse as they are read in subsequent times. Our brother read a verse in Isaiah chapter 26. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. This verse had been brought before me with some force, seems, recently, and here this morning a brother read this, and I thought, perhaps the Lord would allow us to meditate upon it just a moment. So let's look at it. I do not want to take very little time, but just look at this verse. In the way, yea, in the way of thy judgments. Yea, in the way of thy judgments. We had a verse today, a portion, I think it was Exodus 21. And it had before us judgments, and later on it had about the judge. There's a difference, isn't there? The Lord, in one sense, had judgments. He had courses to choose. Bear with me for using what feeble example I choose. But he has, as it were, various courses he could pursue. But in his judgments, he chose various and certain courses. And so he saw that there was going to be failure. And as a consequence of this, he made a judgment or judgments as to what would follow and what he would allow or what he would do in consequence of man's failure. So he, one was thinking of the husbandman that sent servants to his vineyard, and the servants were all slain or abused. And so then he says, what shall I do? He says, I will send my son. As a simple illustration, that is what I'm trying to say, is the husbandman used judgments. He says, what will I do? I will send my son. That is the judgment that he made. A judge is one, of course, we all know, is one who pronounces a sentence. So a judge is different than judgments. And so we have here, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, we have waited for thee. One was thinking, different times we visit and we say, well, how did you come to know about the path of separation or some elements of the truth or the truth? And I admire those who were very intellectual, and they searched the scriptures, and the Lord showed them by comparing scripture with scripture or position with scripture, and they made a discernment, and they said, yes, this is the way that the Lord would have me to go. I could never do that. I was only like the servant that went after Rebekah. And he said, I was in the way, and the Lord led me. But nevertheless, the Lord did. But the Lord has many ways. I mean, he has many judgments, but he has one way. He has one way. It says, in the way of thy judgments. What happened? There is a way for his people. And as a consequence, the way is a consequence of his judgments. And what happens? We have waited for thee. In the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. It is significant of the gathered saints and many others, but it is more significant of those who have a grasp of the truth that we are waiting for the Lord to come to take us to be with himself. And so we're waiting. We're waiting. In the way of thy judgments, we are waiting for thee. So then, what is follows then? Then we find that being in the way of his judgments, we sense a strong bond with that one who has established the way. And he has put us by his grace in the way to wait for him. And so then, Isaiah was speaking by the Spirit, and perhaps there were those in that day that shared the thought that Isaiah had. And so he says, the desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. Well, this morning we had that privilege of remembering him. And so the Lord wants us here, as it had been brought out very strongly and better than I could, that we each have a position. We each have something that he can do, great or small. often think of the members of the body. Dear ones, if you do not have a place that shows, you're very likely more important than the one that does. Because the place that is not seen is the one that, if it ceases to function, those parts that are seen never will. Remember that. I'm sure you're much more aware of it than I am, but we often think of that. If the parts in the body that are not seen do not function, the parts that are seen never will. And so, that we each would seek by God's grace to function in the body. Well, we have a blessed privilege to wait for Him. We have waited for Thee. The desire of our soul is to Thy name. The Lord told us and tells us that where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst of them, in My name. The desire is to Thy name. Now, if you bear with me, God says, now I have a people on earth. They're redeemed. They are Mine. They're a special and peculiar people. And I want them to be in a sense that they are waiting. We have in 1 Corinthians a verse that is so often read, this do ye, and as often you do this, you show the Lord's death till He come. Yes, there we're looking for His coming, but yet we're awaiting people. We're waiting. When this morning, when we remember the Lord, are we in the sense He's gone a little while? We're waiting for Him. We're waiting for Him. So what did He give us? I think it's marvelous. It's so simple and so marvelous. God in His judgments, as it were, says, what shall I give this people that they might be in a consciousness of waiting for My coming? He chooses the very simplest and the most available things that He could choose. He set before His own a loaf and a cup. And so He says, this is what I'm going to give them to partake of, that it will remind them that they are waiting and I am coming. And isn't, to me, that is really something. That God in His judgments had so chosen to do this. He set before us these emblems and this loaf and this cup. And He says, these are the things that I'm going to give to My people that they might have them before them. And it will remind them of My Son who has come in perfection and has died for them, given Himself and has shed His blood for our sins. And then this will be a constant reminder before them until I come. And He says, I come quickly. And so, dear ones, I just wanted to leave that, this little thought with you. So when some breaking of bread, this little verse is read, perhaps you are all aware of what's already been said. But if not, perhaps we'll add a dimension to that verse when it is read to us by the Spirit of God, by the servant of God, at the Lord's Day morning or at any other time. O yea, in the way of Thy judgments. There is a way. He has a way. There is one way that we read of. And there is a way. In a sense, we might say, let us go forth, therefore, unto Him without the camp. There was a way. They perhaps all traveled a similar way outside the camp unto Him. There is a way. of thy judgments, O Lord. Have we waited in thy way of thy judgments, O Lord? Have we waited for thee? And the desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. May the privilege that we have be precious to you and me while we're left here. May it be precious to me, and so that we can carry on for a little while. We know, ready knowledge, there is weakness. We see about us much activity, and we see many things that we think, well, why isn't that power amongst us? But you know, the disciples, when they came down from the mountain, they didn't have the power that another had, but they were in the Lord's company. And that other soul that was used to cast, perform a miracle, he was not in the upper room when the feast was instituted. The disciples lacked the power, but they were in the right place. And though we may lack power, then we should be sensitive to it. May we be and be kept in the right place.
I surely enjoyed what our brother made in that comment. God, in his goodness and wisdom, said, "What shall I provide for them while they're waiting?" And he provided, he said, perhaps among the simplest and most available things, the loaf and the cup. But you know, I thought when he said that, they're inexhaustible. Inexhaustible. Because they speak of Christ our Lord. And he is inexhaustible. Because he is the Word. And we've been enjoying the precious Word of God for 3 days. And it's inexhaustible. What a wonderful provision when you think about this. Two little emblems that we never get to the bottom of, we never fathom, we never reach the heights that we can. And so while we're here, God would have us enter more and more into the good of these things that are of his Son. And I want to turn to Isaiah right about where we were reading, chapter 28. And in Isaiah 28, verse 9, we have this thought: whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Or I believe the margin says, hearing. They that are weaned from the milk. First of all, it's knowledge. Whom shall he teach knowledge? You know, it's a wonderful thing. In Proverbs, I'll just use a verse there. In Proverbs, in chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Without that, you're not teachable. Without a sense in your soul of who it is to whom you belong, who it is this word speaks of, you're not teachable. So it's the fear of the Lord that's the beginning of it. And then if we look at chapter 2 of Proverbs, verse 2, it says, incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. And so we have, whom shall be made to understand hearing? It's those that apply thine ear, apply thine heart to it diligently. And then, of course, in the sixth verse, we have wisdom brought in, which is so necessary for both knowledge and understanding in the sixth verse. You know, Proverbs from chapter 1 through 9 is centered on those three words, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, but that isn't what's on my heart. Here it says, whom shall he teach knowledge? Whom shall he make to understand hearing? those that are weaned from milk. You know, in 1 Peter 2, verse 2, it says, desire the sincere milk of the Word of God that you can grow. I believe the other translation says the pure mental milk of the Word of God. Now notice, at the end of verse 12, this is refreshing, yet they would not hear. There's the problem. They would not hear. The principle is still the same in verse 10. Precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Verse 12 at the end, yet they would not hear. And so the Lord repeats it, verse 13, but the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. You know, this little portion really touched my heart. We're speaking of spiritual growth, that you might grow thereby in the things of the Lord. You know, spiritual growth is not spontaneous. It's not rapid. It's not by any man's means at all. Spiritual growth is God's way, and in God's time, and in God's wisdom. So we have, by grace, provided for us assembly meetings. Now, how precious they are. And the Spirit of God guiding and teaching in the assembly. The manifestation of the Spirit, as we have in 1 Corinthians 12, in the assembly. But you know, we have also this privilege of a general meeting like this. The banqueting house, the banners, love, and how we get fed. But are we not a diverse company? That's the point. We don't grow at the same rate in the same way. There's babes here, and there has been for 2 days, and there's those that are full grown. You know, there are some here in grave clothes, and there's some here who have rid themselves a great deal of fleshly restraints and this world's things that hold back. There's learners here, and there's teachers here, and how wonderful it is. There's some who are wise and have received the wisdom of time and experience, and there's some who need that learning. What a heterogeneous group. I've often thought of it when we come together. And we mentioned in our first prayer meeting how there are needs. Various diversified needs among us. Not just individually, but family and assembly and the whole church. There are needs. Now, how can all those needs be met? Only by God, who knows them, and only He knows them. The Spirit of God, when He has liberty, in meetings like we've just enjoyed, can meet the needs. I have every bit of confidence in that, if we look to Him from the Word of God. But it says, they will not hear. That's one of the problems. They will not hear. You know, there's a problem, I believe, sometimes among us, that we seek the type of ministry we wish or we desire. You know, sometimes I've heard it mentioned that the reading meeting was too deep, the reading meeting was too much for me, over my head. You hear different ones mentioning that. I've heard pleas made, even in the meetings, of let's simplify, let's get down to the young people, let's do this and that. In fact, I heard one meeting where it was emphasized, so I was rather sad about it. And when I left that meeting out in the hall, several young men came up to me and really raised my spirits. They said, "Brother Bauman, we don't want it that way." One of them said, "We're not really looking for reading meetings where it's down to the level we can participate in." You know, I thought, how wonderful that is. And as he said that, it made me think back to when I was first privileged to be among the gathered saints. And I began to go to conference after conference after conference, taking my little children, my wife and I. And I remember in the first few conferences, perhaps 90% over my head. I didn't complain. I wasn't discouraged. I stood in awe. I remember driving home, I'd say, "Oh, how wonderful that is," but I didn't understand very much of it. They had something there that I wanted so badly. It was precious. It was exciting even to hear them minister it, even though it was over my head. And it wasn't long until I was taking some of it in. Oh, a couple of years. I shouldn't say it wasn't long. Perhaps some would say that's long. But I was beginning to take some of it in. And I'd leave the meetings and we'd discuss it. Oh, what a wonderful thing that is, brethren. What I'm getting at is, let's don't try to tell the Lord what we need. Let's don't try to break down the precious truth to the level we think it should be. Let's enjoy it and not get into this little problem, yet they will not hear. There's the real problem. It's line upon line. It's precept upon precept. It's here a little, it's there a little, and you grow. And that's the only way. Now I want to turn to Hebrews 5 because there's a little problem on this one that adds to it. Hebrews chapter 5. Verse 11, "We have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing." Not that they will not hear, they're dull of hearing. "For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age." The margin says perfect. I believe that's the thought. You know, it might be good to look at that expression in 2 Timothy just for a moment. In 2 Timothy, because that expression is used in the Word of God quite frequently, perfect. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, I believe it is, verse 16, 2 Timothy 3:16, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." A beautiful word. Doesn't mean perfection in the sense we speak of it, but it means completeness. It means full grown, completely furnished as a child of God, able to take in strong meat. That's the thought. And how precious it is, brethren, we can grow. But we can only grow so much as we're not dull of hearing. So much as we're willing to listen to these precious truths ministered by the Spirit of God and grow. Now, I just want to mention one more place that brings in the problem, and it's 1 Corinthians chapter 3. First, they will not hear, and then it's dull of hearing, but now there's a little problem in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. verse 1, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able." The problem is, they were fleshly, they were carnal, they were having things among them that hindered the spirit, that they couldn't get the precious ministry. And Paul didn't say, "I have to speak unto you because you're carnal in that sense, but as unto carnal." There's three types of man brought out in the last of the second chapter in this part here. There's the natural man in verse 14 who can't know the things we enjoy. They can't even know them. These are so precious. They're only received and enjoyed by the Spirit of God, no other way. So there's the natural man, but there's the spiritual man in verse 15 at the end of 2. And how wonderful that is. It says we have the mind of Christ. But then there's the carnal, who are as of babes. They can't take in the strong meat, the truth as it's given out so many times and so preciously. Now, how can we? What would be the basis of our growing in these precious things we've been enjoying, and enjoying them more and more and more every time we come together, whether in our assembly readings or in these precious times? Well, I think the little key is brought out in John's Gospel, chapter 7. John's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 15. The Jews marveled, "How knoweth this man learning?" Letters, learning. "Having never learned." Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know." He shall know of the doctrine. I believe that's the key. You know, do you have a desire to know more of that blessed one? Because that's what we learn. We learn more of Christ. Do you have a desire to know him better and all things about him? That's what we learn in these precious meetings. Do you have a will to do his will when you hear what his will is for you? You'll know more. You'll be brought on more. And I think that's brought out nicely. I'm going to be turning just a couple more places. Matthew came to my mind just now. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. And in verse 9. "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." And the disciples came and said unto Jesus, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" And he answered and said unto them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." Parables. Some of these things seem a little bit dark, deep sometimes, but the Spirit of God can bring out such precious truths and unending truths from these parables. And this parable that they're speaking of is the parable of the sower. And you know, in Mark 4, I think it's verse 13. Don't have to turn to it. I probably should have used that portion. It's not here. But in Mark 4, verse 13, he said, I think that's where it is. Yes, just a minute. Mark 4, same parable, verse 13. He said here unto them, "Know ye not this parable, the sower? And how then will ye know all parables?" I sort of had a thought with that verse that all the parables are made known by this one. If you receive the seed, the good seed in your heart, you're indwelt by the Spirit of God, and it says you know all things. So all parables are made known by this parable, said the Lord. He that soweth seeds. The sower went out and sowed seed. It's the Word of God in your heart, the Spirit of God indwelling. And we have that so many places. I'm going to watch so there's time. But I was thinking we had that in our reading. 1 John 2:20. You have the unction of the Spirit Notice, you know all things. Isn't that beautiful? You know all things. Brethren, we can know all things that we need to know or would know by the Word of God and the Spirit of God manifesting Himself in our midst. Oh, what a precious thing that is. Don't seek ministry down to your level. Seek ministry that'll make you reach, that'll let you grow. Enjoy that. You know, the Lord can meet every need we had. And there were so many needs, we didn't know them. But how wonderful it is. Some may needed refreshing. Some may needed, who were discouraged, encouragement. Some may needed something answered, particularly in their lives or assembly. I believe those needs are met. And it's the only way, by the Spirit, as it's brought out in John 14 and 16. The Spirit who takes the things of the Lord and shows them to us and brings Christ to our hearts. Well, one last place is in Ezekiel. I have on my heart here Ezekiel chapter 47, I believe. Ezekiel chapter 47. Afterward, verse 1, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, the waters issued out from under the threshold. I'd like to just mention, I believe in type we have the Word of God, the thing we've been enjoying for 3 days. I believe the water issuing out speaks of the precious Word of God. Now, if you go down to verse 3, and when the man that had the line in his hand went forth, I would say in type we have the Spirit of God, who takes the Word of God and brings it to a soul's heart and opens his understanding by the knowledge and by the wisdom of God. When the man measured 1,000 cubits, he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the ankles. You know, we had those here. The waters were to the ankles. And I know what I'm talking about. I've been there at general meetings, assembly, Christian conference meetings, where the waters were to my ankles. I couldn't get any farther. But I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that. And I stood in awe of those that were swimming. I stood in awe. I didn't regret it. I didn't say, why are you getting so deep? I wanted to swim. And then it says, going on down to verse 4, and he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. Oh, that's growth. And how beautiful it is when you get in a little deeper in the precious Word of God, the things of Christ. And it's more refreshing, isn't it, as we had in Isaiah 28. It's more refreshing. This is refreshing. It's more refreshing when you get in a little deeper in that wonderful water, the Word of God. And then he said, afterward, verse 5, he measured 1,000. It was a river. I'm sorry. Again he measured in verse 4, and he brought me through the waters to the loins. You know, he that hath, to him more will be given, and abundantly. But he that hath not, that which he has will be taken from him. And here's one who has, and he's getting more, and he's getting more, and he's up now to the loins. And how precious that is. And afterward he measured 1,000, verse 5, and what happened? It was a river. I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in. I think the margin says, waters of swimming, but a river that could not be passed over. This is what we began with. Two precious emblems, brethren. Lope in the cup, inexhaustible. The waters can't be passed over. You'll never get to the other side till we're home. And then on one aspect, we'll never reach it. We'll be reaching out forever to the Lord Jesus. The price that God paid, we'll never find it out. It can't be passed over. But how wonderful this is when we see this. You know, I want to mention now why it's so precious when we let the Spirit just have His way. I want to just read a verse in Joshua 8. Just came to mind. We were over there. And it could be in Deuteronomy 2, but where Joshua got it. But I like it the way it is here. In Joshua 8, if I can find it quick here. I think it's verse 35. Joshua 8, verse 35. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel. Oh, how precious it is. Nothing withheld with the women and the little ones and the strangers that walked among them. Marginal reading. Isn't that wonderful? You know, brethren, that's what we're talking about. There's an individual taking in these precious things, but there's a collective taking it in too. I believe the bride in the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, was doing it individually. I sat down under his branches, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. Oh, we can do that. It's wonderful when we can do that, just take in a little of that precious word ourselves. But how much more wonderful to me is where the Spirit has the liberty to lead in our midst and meet our needs and get a little deep. I think it's so precious. I'm not talking and I'm not saying we should have prophecy from Revelation that's over everybody's head, but it doesn't. I'm not saying that. But let the Spirit of God lead and you'll have it. So we've had here a banquet. 3 days of a banquet. The banner love. And you know, we've had this morning that children's meeting. We didn't separate that children's meeting. I love the children's meeting. I love the children there, and I love to get the ministry. And you know, it's milk, and we need it, don't we? We need the milk even when we get older. And it's wine. There was some joy there that I just couldn't help to take in. There was a little bit of deep truth, too. Isn't that precious? We got it there so beautifully at that meeting. There's the children's meeting. We were talking about the remembrance. You can hardly explain what the Spirit of God gives us at those moments. They're so deep. They're so personal. So special. You had the gospel. We all need that. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. We had open meetings. We had sings for young people. We had young people's meetings. And we had the readings. And there's rivers there that you can't pass over. There's rivers we had that you can't pass over. But here a little, there a little, line upon line, brethren, you're going to grow. It's wonderful. You're going to grow. And we have the privilege of growing in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus until He takes us home. And then we'll know as we're known. But we have that privilege. And let's don't try to change the way the Lord has set it up. Let's not be concerned individually if at some time it's over our head. Let's stand in awe. And let's get excited. And let's want to be able to take it in. And that's what will happen. There's no limit to what we can have when we come together and let the Spirit of God have His liberty. There's a river, brethren. Some go in ankle deep. Some get in to the knees. Some to the loins. And then you can swim, but you'll never get to the other side here. It's inexhaustible. I like that. He said, what can I provide for them? Just two things that are simple and very available. Accessible. But they speak of Christ. Inexhaustible. The Word of God.
Just a few minutes left. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes 12, please. Ecclesiastes 12, the last chapter.
The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads, and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. Mr. Darby renders that 11th verse, "The words of the wise are as goads, and the collections of them as nails fastened in." I just wanted to make a comment or two on that verse. We've had, as our brother has just been bringing before us, many words of the wise. And if you, as it was his case and is the case with each one of us, when we first began coming to conference meetings such as this, there was much that we didn't grasp, that we didn't take in, but we've heard words of the wise. We've heard the Word of God. And as you collect these wise words, they're like nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, or the collections of them as nails fastened in. Something that you can hang on, something that you can hold to. And the words of the wise are as goads. They stir to action. And I trust that the ministry of the word that we've had before us in these days of conference will stir us to action. We should not go out the same as we came in. It should never be that way. When the Word of God is presented to us, it ought to have its effect in our lives. And if we go out as we came in, if we say, "Well, it was a lovely conference, happy days, it was nice to have been there," but there's no lasting effect in our lives, no change, no correction of our ways, no goading to walk in the path of truth, then something's missing. The words of the wise are as goads, the collections of them as nails fastened in. We may just have collected a few gems at this conference. Much of it may have been, as our brother has been telling us, over our heads. But we collected something. And we were stirred in some areas of our lives. And as we collect these precious truths of God, they're like nails fastened in. Something that you can hang on. Something that is permanent and abiding and stable in our lives. That's the Word of God. The goading effect of the words of the wise. To stir us to walk differently. To walk in the path of the truth. I just want to read a verse or two from Jeremiah 6. We certainly have the words of the wise. In fact, it's the Word of God. It's the Lord speaking. Verse 16. "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths." We're living in a day of change. The Word of God says that we should not meddle with them that are given to change. Ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And ye shall find rest unto your souls. I wish the verse ended there, but it goes on to say, "But they said, we will not walk therein." You cannot be under the sound of the Word of God. None of us can, from the least to the oldest, without responding to it. without having some effect in our lives. It's either going to be a change for the better or for the worse. We don't stand still in the things of God. We're either going to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, or there's going to be a movement in our pathway. Truth rejected bringeth night. And this is the way Christendom is going. And so if you're going to go in the direction of the truth of God, you're going to have to oppose the current of things. You're going to have to take a stand. You're going to have to collect these precious things from God and hold them fast. I think of the word to the Philadelphian overcomer, hold fast what thou hast, that no man take thy crown. These precious things that we have heard, that we've been privileged to sit under the sound of the truth and the precious truth of God, all to collect these words of the wise and to hold them fast and to be content with the old paths, not be constantly trying to search for something new. God has given us the precious truth. Beloved, there is no company on the face of the earth, and I'm not saying this with any pride, it's a truth, it's a fact, that has such a legacy of truth, God's truth, as we. Such precious ministry that has been left to us. Written ministry, oral ministry, if we've been privileged to sit under the sound of it in these days of conference. The old paths, the old truths of God, the Word of God does not change. And it never grows old. Oh, to abide in that. We had that in 1 John. Abide in that which was from the beginning. To abide in it. To remain in it. To stand firm in it. And to enjoy it. Are you in a meeting that is weak and feeble? And do you often get discouraged? Well, if you're in the Word yourself, you can bring into that meeting something that will be vibrant. Whether you're a brother or a sister, you may be a sister who never opens her mouth, but I believe that the tone of an assembly is often set by the sisters, who never say anything, but their very presence there, their godliness, their devotedness, their desire to have the Lord before us, their prayers mingled in a silent way with the brothers. What a difference. What a difference that makes in an assembly. So whether you have an audible part or not, makes no difference. Your presence is needed there. You're needed there in the way of being a contributor in a positive way to the good of the assembly. And if you have collected these words of the wise, if the words of the wise have goaded you on to action, if you've been one that's been missing meetings, or just a bread breaker, if the one effect that this conference had in your life was that you would make a purposed commitment, I will not miss a meeting that I can be at. There are sometimes legitimate reasons where, due to sickness or other things, we can't be there, but when you can be there, to be there. And to make a positive contribution for the help of the assembly. Brethren, we need every one of us in these last dark days of declension. We've had 1,000 here, but this 1,000 will go back and just to the 2s and 3s, maybe the 20s or 30s, fairly good sized meeting nowadays. Well, may God help us to encourage one another to go on together in the path of faith until the Lord comes. We sang at the outset of this meeting about the Lord's coming. Shall we see thy face and hear thy heavenly voice, beloved? We're just about there. It may be ere we leave this conference, we'll be ushered into the glory to be where he is. Oh, what a prospect. How sad that any of us should be lagging behind and not giving our all for him who has given his all for us.